Welcome to Seattle Hall Pass, a podcast with news and conversations about Seattle public schools. Today, we are coming to you with breaking news. We have a preview of the fiscal stabilization plan to be presented in the meeting this Wednesday, sent to us by an anonymous source.
In plain language, this is a plan that will address the structural budget deficit for future years. We'll walk you through the important points of the document and also link to it so you can read it for yourself.
My name is Christy Robertson.
And I'm Jane Tung Stamel.
There's a lot of fodder for conversation in this document and lots of things that we are guessing about and don't know. So we will be looking forward to your emails at hello@seattlehallpass.org, wherein you will impart your knowledge and corrections to us.
So, Christy, what was the biggest thing that you noticed when you first saw this document?
I think the headline is No School Closures for 2024-25.
That was a huge surprise to me. I never thought that closures might be delayed to the following year, 2025-26. That's exactly what this document says.
Yeah, they certainly have been talking as if it was coming next year.
And here we've been wondering the whole time, is it going to be 5 schools, 10 schools, right. 15 schools? We never thought the answer would be 0 schools.
Although they do talk about combining or co-locating, not combining, non-comprehensive high schools, which we think means programs like Interagency and Sugiyama, but also Middle College, Nova School, and Center School.
And for me, I think that would be really heartbreaking because those schools serve a lot of special populations, you know, from neurodiverse kids to students who haven't been able to go to school.
But co-locating doesn't mean that the programs would be combined. Like at Lincoln High School, they used to have the HCC program and another school, and they like had separate doors and separate playground. So it doesn't necessarily mean those programs would be changing character. So we shall see. Then the other big thing that they talk about for next year is what, Jane?
They want to ask the legislature to extend the current authority to use interfund loans on a near-term basis. So what does that mean?
Was this what Director Song was talking about when she was saying that they had the ability this year to move $10 million from capital to operating budget? And she wanted that to be extended?
It might be. When we actually did talk to Vivian Song a few days ago, and we asked her about that, and she said she didn't know what the mechanism was that allowed that $10 million transfer. So maybe it was this.
So, but as far as we know, this is talking about them borrowing from themselves. And they say that, let's see, use interfund loans on a near-term basis while the district implements sustainable financial restructuring.
So it's like they just want to give themselves a loan as a breather, kind of like a bridge loan until they figure out how to resolve their structural deficit.
Yeah. So there seems a little bit like they're pushing problems down the road because they're taking out another loan, essentially, right? That would have to be paid back.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if the loan has to be paid back. Whatever the case, it's very clear that the district is making a very difficult financial choice here. Because not only did they use a fiscal stabilization fund, also known as a rainy day fund, last year, now they're talking about interfund loans. And I'm just wondering where this will lead the district.
Yeah, so they may be walking a bit of a tightrope to avoid going into binding conditions, which is when the state starts really monitoring your finances. You have a lot less flexibility in how you use your budget, I believe.
So those are the biggest high-level takeaways.
For next year. In the following years, though, they are planning on closing and consolidating, right, Jane?
Yeah, they say that they're going to begin to consolidate and reduce the number of buildings starting in 2025-26. And they also say that this is going to give them time to do some deep community engagement about what the vision is for well-resourced schools. So we're happy to hear that.
Yeah, and they stated a take-home from the well-resourced schools conversation and called it phase one of that engagement. Their takeaway is, families want schools to be central hubs for community. They want increased security measures, high-quality instruction in core subjects, including extracurriculars and arts, and equitable access to special education, multilingual, and highly capable advanced learning services. So they're calling the next phase two, to continue those conversations as they work toward consolidations and closures.
And I think a lot of people will be happy to hear that, because if the closures were going to happen this year, people did not feel like there's enough time to engage community or to see how these closures would affect the students at each school site.
Yep. And then they talk about real property. What kind of real property do you think they're talking about, Jane? They talk about using proceeds from the sale or lease of real property to address one-time financial challenges.
Well, the first place my mind goes is, if they did have school closures, would they then sell those buildings or sell that property where the buildings are? And of course, my first thing I always wonder is if that means charter schools.
Right, because you come from the Bay Area and they have quite a number of charter schools there, right?
Yeah, yeah. In Oakland, the charter schools have taken over the district and it is not a good thing.
A couple other phrases they use for 20, now we're talking 25, 26 year, that we don't really understand are grade level reorganization. One theory we have is that that means undoing K-8s and putting middle school students at middle schools.
And the other one is program adjustments and restructuring. What do you think that means,
Christy? That is so vague. That could be anything. I could see them meaning getting rid of option schools, or maybe it's, again, the K-8 thing. No idea. No idea.
And even though, from what we've heard, closing option schools doesn't actually save money. So Superintendent Jones also included a personal note in this document where he talked about his own experience with Seattle Public Schools. He knows that this is a serious time and that these are serious, hard choices that they're making. Do you want to read what he wrote, Christy?
Yeah, sure. He said, "I have experienced SPS as a student, parent, and leader through good times and hard times. I went to Franklin High School when busing was the new mandate. My mother taught at SPS, and my daughter also is a graduate. I know that I am calling on our community to make some hard choices for the good of all. And I know that together we can do this, and together we will."
So that was a nice note, I think, just showing how he understands the difficulty of this.
So this, now we come to the part that I've been wondering about for the entire year, is, so if they're not saving money with closing schools, which already we knew that wasn't going to save the whole amount, but so then how are they going to deal with the $105 million shortfall?
And to review, they were talking about interfund transfer mm-hmm. and also delaying paying back their rainy day fund. So both of those are part of the $105 million. And in addition, they're talking about other budget cuts they could make.
Yeah. And then structural changes. They're talking about reducing central office even more. They reduced it by a lot this year. And they're talking about making more cuts. And then there's something about fees that's vague. And then there's some things that really would affect students, right, Jane?
Yeah. One of them is the one that we always hear about, transportation changes, such as from 2 tiers to 3 tiers, which that is something that the community has made clear they're not interested in, but that they've said it would save about $5 million.
Increased secondary class sizes.
I don't even want to think about that.
Oh my God, I know. It feels like class sizes are so big.
I've actually heard already that at some middle schools, there's already 40 students in a class.
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine that.
And I know that in my students' school, the principal has told me that the classrooms can't even really fit, more, say, 32 students.
And then they also say reductions in school staffing, which, since that's a separate line item, that makes me wonder, like, are they just talking about the savings of staffing from the bigger class sizes, or are they talking about, I don't know, having no more assistant principals, or like, I don't know what other school staffing there is to reduce. Fewer IAs, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing too. It feels like they've been dangling these well-resourced school conversations in front of us, but I can see that maybe we'll have less nurse time at schools next year. And other things like that, or maybe less counselors. It's hard to imagine that any of those positions are going to be increasing.
Mm-hmm. And then they also say utilizing the one-time self-help fund and school carry forwards, which somebody email us and tell us, I thought that they had already used those this year. So now I'm confused that they're here again.
Well, they'll keep using
but they used them.
But every year we'll have a different carry forward.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
So those are all the big changes. And then it looks like by April, Superintendent Jones plans to have a roadmap that takes the district to 2030.
He's looking at this as a long-term plan to transition to fewer, larger schools. And he said the plan would include school consolidations, grade level reorganizations, and program adjustments and restructuring. So again, those last two are extremely vague and could really include anything.
There's that grade level reorganizations again.
Yeah.
We really want to know what it means. Someone email us at hello@seattlehallpass.org. I'm not sure how that's going to save a lot of money because you'd still have the same number of students. So I'm really curious to learn more.
So with the intent of getting this out to people as quickly as possible, should we call it an episode, Jane?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to Seattle Hall Pass.
Remember to check our show notes or subscribe to support us at seattlehallpass.org.
I'm Christy Robertson.
And I'm Jane Tungstein.
Join us next time on Seattle Hall Pass.